And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy.
I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to ride, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it! My life has value!
We get together, have a few laughs.
Welcome to the Iowa Talk Guys podcast. I'm your host, TP.
And I'm your host, Theo.
And E-Rock is not here today. He's at band practice.
Actually, he's driving a motorcycle through
band camp.
A hotel door. Yeah. No.
Anyways, today, it's a nice brisk, what was the temperature out, Theo, that you looked up?
Well, it says 36 Fahrenheit. What is that? Celsius? I don't know. 2, 3, 4?
Somewhere around there. One to four. I don't know.
34 degrees Fahrenheit would be 1.11 degrees Celsius, you uncivilized fools.
For listeners in the Australian area.
Southern hemisphere.
Yeah. But Tuesday, March 19th marked the vernal equinox for the Northern Hemisphere, when the sun was directly over the equator and its energy was balanced between the Northern and Southern Hemispheres, according to the National Weather Service.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly for the 3 days of spring that we've had so far.
Yeah, and last week, you said last week the weather in Iowa was considerably better.
Yes, it was.
I was went to Florida for a couple days and then the Gulf. And yeah, so the weather wasn't the best there, but it was a lot nicer than what we're feeling right now.
Yeah, you got some well-needed R&R.
Yeah.
Get some fishing in.
No.
Oh, but I got some beach time.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you drive through Mississippi at all?
I did drive through Mississippi, but hey, how was the weather last week in Iowa?
It was like nice out. Nice. It was in the 50s. And
wind howling?
It wasn't too bad.
Really?
No.
Even out of my place, you think?
I mean, yeah, there were some days it was windy out, but just these last couple days.
Yeah.
Since you've been back. But anyways, speaking of Mississippi, we found this article, WRBL Columbus, Yahoo News is where we found it on, by Michael Goldberg. Former Mississippi police officer gets about 10 years in prison for racist torture of two black men. We'll see if it was racist. I mean, it's just torture. It's a human being. Torture is torture.
At this point, like, yeah.
I mean,
if it's racist,
if they were doing it because they were black, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredibly bad. But the fact that anybody does this to anybody is just ridiculous. And,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, who does this shit?
Sick bastards, that too. And so, down in Jackson, Mississippi, the last of six former law enforcement officers who tortured two black men outside Mississippi's capital has been sentenced. Former Richland police officer Joshua Hartfield was given an approximately 10-year federal prison sentence on Thursday, which would have been, this was from Thursday, March 21st, 2024. The six white officers were fired and pleaded guilty. Why do they have to put their freaking color in here, but whatever. Six officers...
Color's a big thing on all of
that, we'll go with it. We'll fix it for them. The six officers were fired on and pleaded guilty to subjecting Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker to numerous acts of torture in January 2023. The so-called Goon Squad.
That's a good name.
That's what they called themselves. Broke into a home where a neighbor complained that a black man were staying with a white woman. Hartfield tried to destroy evidence of the torture. This is a breaking news update. AP's earlier story follows below. This is the AP story now. A high-ranking former sheriff's deputy in Mississippi, one who was often seen as a father figure by younger officers, was sentenced to more than 27 years on Thursday, which would be March 21st, for breaking into a home with a group of law enforcement officers as they tortured two black men, an act that the judge called
egregious and despicable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Judge. Former deputy Brett McAlpin, 53, was the fifth former law enforcement officer sentenced this week by U.S. District Judge Tom Lee after pleading guilty to the attack, which involved beatings, repeated uses of stun guns, and assaults with a sex toy before one of the victims was shot in the mouth.
Break yourself, fool!
I mean, what the hell is happening right now?
The sixth and final member of the group, 32-year-old former Richland police officer Joshua Hartfield, to be sentenced Thursday afternoon, which was the update we read in the beginning. Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah.
I want to find out.
Well, they should have just complied in the first place, and there wouldn't have been no problem.
I am the law!
I mean, who the hell... What the... Who could do that?
Dude.
You'd have to be awful.
The fact that they're cops and they thought that they're going to get away with this... Well, I mean, I guess two guys are lucky that they didn't end up in that shallow grave out there behind the penal facility.
Yeah, I think we'll get to that in a minute, too, but... What, just rolling into a place and just, all right, not only did we come in here tactically, we brought a sex toy.
Or maybe the sex toy was already there.
Yeah.
But
like, yeah, we brought a sex toy.
You done messed up, Aaron.
It's time. You ever heard this one? Leroy Jenkins and then Gaddafi. What's your favorite flavor of brownie? Glock?
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That was a good one.
You like lead sandwiches, boy? That's disgusting. I mean...
Sorry, we shouldn't be laughing at that, but...
This is how sick and twisted the world has become. No, you can't trust cops, necessarily. You know? I've met a ton of good ones, but...
Dude.
And plus, Jackson, Mississippi. Well, no offense to you folks, but there's not a good track record with law enforcement down there.
So this is insane. Apparently, one of the guys told investigators that McAlpin, the father figure, who was off duty and not in uniform during the attack, functioned like a, quote, mafia don, as he instructed the officers throughout the evening. Prosecutors said other deputies often tried to impress McAlpin, and Opdyke's attorney said Wednesday that his client saw McAlpin as a father figure.
Yeah.
Opdyke was another name we didn't bring up in here. The younger deputies who were already sentenced tried to wrap their heads around how they started off wanting to be good law enforcement officers and turned into monsters.
Like organized crime?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Maybe they got the idea from a movie. Like, I wonder where they would have got that idea.
Goodfellas.
Training Day.
Copland.
Or yeah, no shit. Yeah. Have you ever met like an unsavory fellow, like you were just kind of like, didn't trust, and he said he wanted to be a cop, and then you're just like, eh.
Dude, get this though. It's so, these officers invented false charges against these victims after they, you know, were like, this happened to us, and they're like, no. They planted a gun and drugs at the scene of the crime, and then stuck to a cover story for months until finally admitting that they tortured Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker. Elward admitted to shoving a gun into Jenkins' mouth and firing it in when federal prosecutors said was meant to be a mock execution.
Oh, just kidding. We didn't kill you, but this I could have. That is horrific. That's utterly terrible.
Yeah. And so this says, the terror began January 24th, 2023, with a call for extrajudicial violence when a white person complained to McAlpin that two black men were staying with a white woman at a house in Braxton.
What sort of primates do that?
McAlpin told Deadman, who texted a group of white deputies asking if they were available for a mission. No bad mugshots, Deadman texted. A green light, according to prosecutors, to use excessive force on parts of the body that wouldn't appear in a booking photo.
Wow.
Deadman also brought Hartfield, who was instructed to cover the back door of the property during the illegal entry. So this was all happened just because of one phone call. There's two black men living with a white woman over there. You know what happens next, don't you? And their cops
probably
like,
wasn't like that.
Is this like the guys from the South Park one when they try to frame Michael Jackson, but he's Michael Jefferson?
All right, people, let's give Blackie a nice welcome home.
E-Rock is at practice.
Framing innocent black people's in your blood.
He's the one that would know the South Park stuff.
Once inside, the officers mocked the victims with racial slurs and shocked them with stun guns. Oh, so I guess the headline was right. This was a racist torture. They handcuffed them and poured milk, alcohol, and chocolate syrup over their faces.
Get some of that in there.
Mm. Throw it on.
Come on. Hey, that's a great color on you, you know?
You get a white woman's job, bitch.
Deadman and Opdyke assaulted them with a sex toy. They forced them to strip naked and shower together to conceal the mess. What in the hell?
Training day.
You ever had your shit pushed in? Simple question.
Then, like, in the shower, cleaning everything before it's gone.
What kind of sadist, sick, twisted piece of garbage?
Mississippi law enforcement.
Officers. Apparently. Young deputies.
What in the actual living heck?
Yeah. After Elward shot Jenkins in the mouth, lacerating his tongue and breaking his jaw, they devised a cover-up. Oops. I accidentally shot this guy in the mouth.
Oh, what?
He was playing.
There was a round in that?
He was trying to clean the gun with his mouth and it went off. Yeah.
What do you do?
The deputies agreed to plant. They devised a plan to cover it up. So the deputies agreed to plant drugs and false charges stood against Jenkins and Parker for months. Illegal discharge of a firearm within city limits, I'm sure, was one of the charges. Everybody heard the gunshot, right? Oh, my gosh.
Perhaps.
McAlpin and Middleton, the oldest men of the group, threatened to kill the other officers if they spoke up, prosecutor said. In court Thursday, McAlpin's attorney, A. Fram Sellers, said only Middleton threatened to kill the other officers.
Holy shit. If you tell anyone,
we will kill you.
You'll end up, yeah.
I know where you live.
Well,
I know your wife and kids.
Maybe think about it. The only reason why these guys may not have ended up in that freaking shallow grave out there was because it had already been found. The story broke in that back in January. This started in, what did it say, January 24th.
Yeah.
So they're probably really, that's probably what would have happened to these boys. Federal prosecutors said the neighbor referred to the people at the home as those people and thugs. The information included the charge documents. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, yeah, you can go on and read about that some more yourself. But yeah, Theo and I thought this would be a good time to bring that up about the 215 dead bodies.
Yeah, that we reported on in January, like right after it came out.
Yeah.
And we saw that. We're so thankful we saw that because most people haven't heard of this.
Yeah, a lot of people still haven't heard of this. And this, like I said, this Jenkins and Parker guy are lucky that they didn't end up out there.
No shit.
You know? I mean, what happened, that's absolutely terrible. And yeah, it was right. It was a racist thing. And that's so sick. Wasn't there a movie about this that we had to watch in like social studies in high school? About this happening back in like the 50s, 60s?
Mississippi Burning? Or?
Yeah, wasn't that it? I can't remember.
CBS News, June 20th, 2014. On June 21st, 1964, civil rights workers, Andrew Goodman, James Cheney, and Michael Schwerner, were ambushed and shot dead by the Ku Klux Klan in Mississippi. Their deaths were dramatized in the 1988 film, Mississippi Burning. David Goodman, the brother of Andrew Goodman, reflects on the case that captured the nation's attention.
In the summer of 1964, Andy Goodman got training in how to register African Americans to vote as part of the growing civil rights movement in America.
People should be expected to get beaten. They should expect to spend in jail, and it may go beyond the summer when they're in jail, and that they should expect possibly somebody to get killed.
Then he traveled to Mississippi and wrote this postcard to say that he had arrived safely. The people in this city are wonderful, he wrote, and our reception was very good. The postmark, June 21st, 1964. That was the same day Goodman and fellow civil rights workers James Cheney and Mickey Schwerner went missing.
They were stopped by the police, accused of speeding. They were put in jail, and they were not allowed to make a phone call. And they were released at night. They got back in the car. And the Ku Klux Klan nabbed them.
Oh shit, we into it now, boys.
For the latest on the search for the three missing boys.
The men's disappearance made national headlines. President Lyndon Johnson ordered federal agents to Mississippi.
I asked Hoover last 2 weeks ago, after talking to the Attorney General, to fill up Mississippi with FBI men and infiltrate everything he could. What do they think happened? Think they got killed?
This morning they had absolutely no trace. There's no sign of the automobile. They have found nobody who's seen the car or the three people. So as far as they're concerned, they just disappeared from the face of the earth.
It wasn't until August 4th, 1964, that their bodies were found.
Thousands of law enforcement agents for 44 days were looking for my brother's body and James and Mickey. They dredged out of the swamps nine black bodies who no one had even heard of. There's multiple levels of tragedy in this story. One of them that is most poignant for me, besides losing my brother, was that it took two white kids to legitimize the tragedy of being murdered if you wanted to vote.
And it took decades to achieve any kind of justice for the murders of Andy Goodman, James Chaney, and Mickey Schwerner. 18 men were arrested in 1967. Half a dozen were convicted, but only of civil rights violations. None served more than 6 years. No one was convicted of murder. Jerry Mitchell, an investigative reporter in Jackson, Mississippi, began looking at the case again in the late 80s.
Jerry Mitchell is a unique, wonderful hero. He said, "This is unfair." Just like what Andy said. He found evidence and wrote about it so much that he just embarrassed the powers that be to get on it.
Thanks to Mitchell's reporting, the state reopened the case, and in 2005, Ku Klux Klan preacher Ray Edgar Killen went to trial for the killings. Killen was found guilty of manslaughter. Now 89, he is serving 60 years in prison. It was a long overdue measure of justice for the victims' families, including Andy Goodman's mother, Carolyn Goodman, herself a prominent social activist, who called for justice but opposed the death penalty.
She and my father decided the issue is to let America know that this is not about hatred. This is not about revenge. My mother was against capital punishment. She was more interested in letting people know this was her son who was murdered. He didn't do anything bad. He was living the American dream.
Stephen Smith, CBS News.
I don't recall watching it, to be honest with you.
Anyway.
So I know I'm uncultured.
Schwein.
Schweinzer.
Schweinzer. But yeah, it's so far there. We couldn't find any updates.
It's to be expected at this point.
The ones that we looked at are the ones that we already brought up in the show and read about. But what happened? Crazy. So I don't know why that's not being reported on more. Like, you would think that would be kind of a big deal.
It's a pretty big deal. Yeah. Rotting corpses.
If that happened somewhere on foreign soil with U.S. troops there, that would be called a war crime.
Well, more particularly if Russian troops. That would be called a war crime.
If Russian troops had that going on in Ukraine, that'd be a war crime.
They already do, TP.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't you been watching?
Russia bad. Russia very, very bad. So is China and Iran. But, yeah, it's pretty wild. Speaking of wild... wild and crazy things. War on Gaza. Netanyahu suggests new U.S.-built port could help deport Palestinians.
Wouldn't that be convenient for him?
Yeah. Deport them where? Here?
Yeah, doesn't that tell you anywhere but Israel?
Palestinians hit back at suggesting reportedly raised in cabinet meetings saying that it implies plans for mass expulsion from Gaza. Yes. I mean, honestly, you're going to be lucky that you don't get completely wiped off the face of the earth.
I want to make clear Israel's position regarding a ceasefire. Just as the United States would not agree to a ceasefire after the bombing of Pearl Harbor or after the terrorist attack of 9/11, Israel will not agree to a cessation of hostilities with Hamas after the horrific attacks of October 7th. Calls for a ceasefire are calls for Israel to surrender to Hamas, to surrender to terrorism, to surrender to barbarism. That will not happen. Ladies and gentlemen, The Bible says that there is a time for peace and a time for war. This is a time for war.
Yeah, I better hope to get out. I mean, it's been completely sacked, but that Hamas is in the tunnels, man.
Dude, it's got to be horrific. That, and I couldn't imagine having to flee my own home and my country, you know.
I do feel for the Palestinian people. I mean, yeah. We've said that a number of times.
Yeah, and we have also said, you know what, the U.S. needs to just stay out of it.
No shit. Don't send weapons. Don't send money. Aid. Don't send... Because anything that goes to killing somebody is no good.
Look at all the aid we've given to Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan.
There's been a lot of aid given to them.
In Libya.
For sure. Like that airport, you know.
Yeah.
In Afghanistan is a big one.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has reportedly suggested that the new U.S.-built makeshift port off Gaza, which was installed to help ship aid to the besieged enclave, could be used to deport Palestinians. It's really nice what you guys built there. You can use it to get them off of my land.
Yeah, right. Washington earlier this month announced plans for the military to construct a, quote, temporary floating dock on Gaza's coast to allow aid to enter more easily. A temporary pier will enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day.
That's what U.S. Joe Biden said.
No, hold on.
U.S. President, no.
A temporary pier will enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day.
Pancakes. Said U.S. President Joe Biden.
However, speaking at a private meeting of the Knesset's Foreign Affairs and Security Committee, Netanyahu suggested the port could also facilitate the removal of Palestinians from Gaza. Hmm. So that's the Israeli legislature.
The Knesset?
Yes.
Oh, issues that demand a professional and in-depth discussion are referred to committees according to their areas of jurisdiction.
They can just ship them off. Get rid of them.
Don't need them there.
No, we don't want you here no more. Get on out of here.
No obstacle, huh?
This here is our land. God gave it to us. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You understand?
You wanted the sea, right?
I mean, like...
From the river to the sea, huh? We'll put you into the sea, all right?
We're talking about, like, this is like the pinnacle of getting the natives out of there. This is what Israel is like putting to practice what the U.S. government did in the 19th century to get rid of natives, except with modern technology.
Mm.
And well, terrible.
Yeah. Here, there was a quote on Twitter by Mustafa Bar Gohati, who said, Netanyahu, never gave up his dream of a complete ethnic cleansing of Palestine in Gaza, unquote.
That's absolutely just abhorrent.
Leader of the Palestinian National Initiative in response to the news. Yeah, there it was met with anger. Of course they're going to be angry. You're leaving. Like I said, I couldn't imagine that happening and having to flee your land there. But
why don't they just buy an airplane ticket out of there?
Why not?
Because don't have any damn money. They have nothing.
And Israel won't let them out.
Because Gaza is, in effect, Israel.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get rid of these people that are there. That's it.
Yeah, and apparently the UN Food and Agricultural Organization said on Monday, March 18th, that famine is expected in northern Gaza anytime between now and May. Israel has denied restricting the entry of aid to Gaza, claiming that the UN is responsible for blocking aid deliveries. Hmm.
Weird. You mean like the ones that went into the ocean? Or?
Here's your food. Oops.
Which ones did they block? Did they instead block ones that actually made it there this time?
I don't know.
Huh. It's weird.
But you know who else is also interested in Palestinian land and why they might want to be gone out of there?
You know,
I was caught up thinking about this a little earlier.
Well, this is a Guardian article from March 29th, Tuesday, 2024, by Patrick Wintour. Jared Kushner says Gaza's waterfront property could be very valuable.
Could be.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try to make it big as a podcast on like trying to get in on that.
Put up a Iowa Talk Guys tower.
Like build a studio on...
No, no, let's just build apartment buildings and rent them out and Airbnb them from America. We don't even have to go over there. Do it all on the internet, dude. Donald Trump's son-in-law also says Israel should bulldoze an area of the Negev Desert and move Palestinians there. Jared Kushner has praised the, quote, very valuable, unquote, potential of Gaza's, quote, waterfront property, unquote, and suggested Israel should remove civilians while it, quote, cleans up, unquote, the strip. Huh. Then a day later, they're talking to Israel's like, we need to get him. Yeah, Kushner's right. So the former property dealer married to Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka, made the comments in an interview at Harvard University on 15 February. The interview was posted on the YouTube channel, The Middle East Initiative, a program Harvard's Kennedy School of Government earlier this year. So you know it's reliable information.
That's right. 21st century Harvard.
Kushner was a senior foreign policy advisor under Trump's presidency and was tasked with preparing a peace deal for the Middle East. Yeah, he spent a lot of time in Israel.
He certainly did.
He was one of the...
Of course, moved the...
Yep.
You know, the embassy to Jerusalem.
I was just going to say
that. We mentioned that.
He was on that team with... Yeah. That,
yeah.
So, critics of the plan, which involved Israel striking normalization deals with Gulf states, said it bypassed questions about the future for Palestinians.
Hmm. It sounds like it, right?
I guess. I mean...
Bypass the... So read that again.
Says, critics of the plan, which involved Israel striking normalization deals with Gulf states, said it bypassed questions about the future for Palestinians.
Right.
Hasn't
all of this.
Because they don't care about the future of the Palestinians.
No, they're just thinking, let's move on in. And then after that, the West Bank. And then guess what? Israel has already, haven't reported on all the details of this much. Please, we would encourage you to go do your own research because that is the best way to get a picture of what is going on.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do this for you.
Don't believe a word we say.
So they've attacked Hezbollah in southern Lebanon.
Yeah.
So they've incurred it there in the north,
the West
which
Bank.
Is north. Yeah, the West Bank, but also the north of Lebanon or Israel.
Yep.
They've, and then into Syria. Shit, they bombed Damascus, didn't they?
Israel?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Did they?
Jeeves?
Al Jazeera, October 12, 2023. Israel launched missile strikes on Syria's two main airports in Damascus and the northern city of Aleppo, knocking both out of service.
Yeah, anyways, they don't care. They probably almost don't even, you know, they probably look at the Palestinians as, we don't even want to waste the ammo on you, but we have to. That's how sick they are. They don't think they're the people at all.
I just think of the loss of human life.
Like that guy said, Mustafa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And there are people that call it like anti-Semitic to even say
mention that.
I'll say that all day, that the loss of human life right now in the Gaza Strip is one of the biggest tragedies of human existence.
Absolutely.
So far,
in our day,
since October 7th.
In our day and age.
And
since I've been alive.
And the details on October 7th are not as clear as some people say they are.
We talked about it
a number of times.
So, yeah. He said, Kushner, quote, Gaza's waterfront property could be very valuable.
Yeah, I bet.
If people would focus on building up livelihoods, unquote, Kushner told his interviewer at that Harvard thing. The facility chair of the Middle East Initiative, Professor Tarek Massoud. Kushner also laminated, quote, all the money, unquote, that had gone into the territory's tunnel network and munitions instead of education and innovation.
These guys are such animals that instead of trying to get their kids to learn how to write and read, they're getting their kids to make weapons and ammunition.
Right.
And dig tunnels. Because they're just monsters. They're monsters.
Complete animals.
Not even human being.
Savages, savages, drive them from our shore.
So this is it's pretty wild. He also went on to say, quote, "It's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there, but from an Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up," unquote.
Now, he's from New Jersey, I think, right?
Kushner?
Yeah. Went to Harvard, made his millions while he was in college in real estate.
Okay.
Before he even graduated. He was an ice hockey player. Privileged fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Chris Christie put his dad in prison.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And, you know, maybe we can clean this place up.
It's a bit of an unfortunate situation.
It's just a bit of an unfortunate situation.
That's what
it sounds like fucking Donald Trump, actually.
That's what you call,
oh my goodness,
cold-blooded murder. So Kushner also said, quote, "But I don't think that Israel has stated that they don't want the people to move back there afterwards," unquote.
Maybe it'll happen.
They're going to clean the place up and then let them move back in as, you know, indentured servants.
Yeah, kind of like the condos in the Bay Area and stuff.
Yeah, and they...
just like...
they'll have a place to sleep in the basement with their families in a big room and cots. I mean, beds.
And they can come out in the mornings and before everybody else wakes up and clean the bathroom. And
I'm picturing kitchen. Jared Kushner dressed as a Zoolander making that stupid face as he's, you know.
What is this?
A center for ants?
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
What happens next?
Yeah, and of course he knows because he went to Harvard.
Just schmoozing them, yeah.
So he knows better than everybody else.
Go look that up. There's a lot that they talked about on here, and it's pretty informative. He's a jackass. Just gonna say it.
And a loaded one, and a very powerful one as well.
Yeah.
Didn't he broker the Middle East peace deal too?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier. And it said that in the beginning of that article. And he talked. Or yeah,
what?
He was over there a lot. He's made a lot of good friends, probably a lot of good business deals.
Friends with the Sheikh, probably. He probably hangs out with them and has a good time.
You know, I'm kind of into real estate myself, real estate investment. So, so is my father-in-law. So
we hear it's kind of a bad situation in Gaza right now.
A bit of an unfortunate situation.
Stupid.
What a
sick bastard.
Overeducated,
pompous prick.
Yeah, no shit. What a turd.
Face McGee. Anyways, that's all I got for tonight.
I thought we had one more.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we had a foreign policy update.
Well, now I apologize because I got pissed.
It's all okay. All right, this next one comes to us from antiwar.com, March 21st, 2024. U.S. claims it hasn't received formal request to leave Niger, by Dave DeCamp. A Pentagon official on Thursday insisted that the military-led government in Niger, known as the National Council for the Safeguard of the Homeland, CNSP, has not formally asked the U.S. troops to leave the country, despite declaring the U.S. presence is no longer legally justified. Well, it's almost like they want them to ask them to leave by firing rounds at them. Doesn't that would be
I guess they want us to go. I guess we'll just pack up and leave. Sorry,
they
fellas.
They started firing at us.
So we had to return fire.
It's so weird.
Deadly efficiency, effect, and fire superiority.
Don't they know that we're the Americans and we're just here to help?
We're the good guys.
How bizarre.
How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Celeste Wallander, Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs, said at a House Armed Services Committee hearing that the CNSP told the U.S. that the agreement that allows the U.S. to operate in the country is now null and void. Okay, seems simple. However, she also claimed that the CNSP, quote, assured us that American military forces are protected and they will take no action that will endanger them, end quote. Pentagon spokeswoman Sabrina Singh said Tuesday that the U.S. was seeking, quote, clarification from Niger and is looking to stay.
Hmm.
Seems pretty clear.
Yeah, interesting.
So, like, take a hint type of a deal. But no, this is the psychopath at the party. It's like, no, you need to leave.
No. They're like, no. This here is our ground.
I think I'll stay.
Yeah. This here is my piece of land now, son. But sure. We're not the colonizers like Russia.
No. We have way better intentions than them.
Yeah. We're not trying to get back all this territory.
We're far more sophisticated, educated, and refined.
America.
Unreal.
Yeah, dude. That's wild.
So, the arrogance of people just manage everything and centrally plan everything. And we're going to make beachfront property here in Gaza. Yeah.
I happen to know some really good builders, yeah. Too. Floor layouts for buildings, hotels, casinos.
Engineering firms.
Yeah. Craziness.
Things like this.
This is the world we live in. But that's why you come here, to get entertained by us while we tell you about it.
That's right. Us just talking about it. And, well, tonight, drinking beers. In case you couldn't tell. Me, Theo. Speak for myself.
I will only drink water.
That's right. Only the finest spring waters out of glass. For TP.
Perfectly balanced, 7.4 pH balance.
From the Nordic fjords.
Yes.
I only drink the finest breast milks.
All right. If you like the show, please like, follow, subscribe, share.
That's right. Share it with your friends.
Share with your family.
Your family.
Co-workers.
Everybody. All them folks.
Yeah.
Follow us on X, Twitter. At Iowa Talk Guys.
Follow us on Instagram at Iowa Talk Guys _podcast.
We are also on YouTube and Rumble at Iowa Talk Guys.
And you can always contact us on iowatalkguys.com as well.
Yeah, that's right. Our emails are on there.
Yeah, we have a little contact widget. And always remember,
don't eat the yellow cake.
Don't eat the yellow snow.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
And apparently don't live anywhere near Jackson, Mississippi.
Or beachfront Gaza.
Yes.
You know.
If you're on beachfront property in Gaza Strip, you should probably get out.
Dagnabbit.
Yeah.
Iowa Talk Guys out.
Hi. Good night, everybody.
I'd rather be here. So thank you very much. Very nice. Appreciate it.